Hello everyone. I'm sorry that yesterday the recording didn't work properly for us. There was video in the live stream but no audio. And so today what I'm going to do is just record a summary at least of the message from the Lord's Day morning. At both the services yesterday, I preached our motto text for the new year of 2024 from Psalm 34. And the verse 8. In Psalm 34 and the verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. As I say, at both the services yesterday, I preached upon this text. Now, thinking about those words, taste and see, it is good. They're words, I'm sure, that we have heard in the physical realm. Perhaps as a child, your mother came to you and your mother said, "Taste it." And so there was some food and you were reluctant to have it, but your mother said, "Taste and see, it's good." And so we have a loving Heavenly Father that comes to us and he says, "Taste and see, the gospel is good." Prove this. If you take it, you will see it is good. Or imagine a nurse in the hospital, and the nurse comes to some very ill patient, and the nurse is saying to the patient, "Please take this broth," and the patient is ill, the patient is reluctant. But the nurse is saying, "Taste and see, it's good." And so the great physician of souls, he comes and says, "Taste and see, the Lord is good." Or maybe in visiting some distant place where there are foods that are very unfamiliar to you, you look at those foods and you're reluctant. But some national comes and says, "No, but taste and see, it's good." And so there is here in this text a great invitation. David is writing here on account of his own experience. And the psalmist gives us the background to when he wrote this particular psalm. In the title, he speaks of how when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And the reference is to 1 Samuel chapter 21, when David had fled from King Saul. And first of all, in that chapter, David came to Nob, where the house of God was at that particular time. And when he came to Nob, he met with the priest Ahimelech. And when Ahimelech was asking him about how come you're here at this particular time, David was deceitful as to the background of why he was there. He moved on then and he went into the Philistine country of Gath. And when he was at Gath, he changed his behavior as described here. He pretended to be mad in order that he would be protected from the Philistines. And so the whole background to this psalm is that David had failed. David had been deceitful, but the Lord had been faithful to him. David then had tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And he then is saying, both to his readers back all of those years ago and to us today, come and put the Lord to the test. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, as we think about this tasting and seeing, there is implied here the desire after something good. The desire after something good. For taking this figure of speech of tasting, it implies that there's an appetite. It implies that there's this craving, a longing for food. And so then, the psalmist is saying, here's the food you need. It's the Lord. It's the gospel. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And notice that the thing that that we are to digest, the thing that we are to partake of, is the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, all men everywhere partake in some way of the goodness of God, even though many do not realize that they are partaking of the goodness of God. And there is what we refer to as God's common grace. And a number of the Psalms speak of this. For example, the Psalm 65. The Psalm 65 and the verse 9. It says, Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou so provided for it. Verse 11, Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. And we think of the rain falling in the earth. We think about the provision of food in the earth. These are all good things that God has provided. And so though the earth is under the curse today, the earth is suffering the consequence of the fall, yet still there is plenty of evidence that God is a good God and that God gives, even to those that despise him, good things, material things. But those good things are not enough to satisfy the deep craving within the heart of man. And so remember, I've mentioned here that this statement, taste and see, it implies that there is a craving. Now, having food on the table, having money in the bank account, having a place to live, these are parts of God's common grace, but they do not satisfy the inner yearning of the soul. We need then special grace. We need the gospel. And that is what David is saying, that we are to taste and see and discover the goodness of God. So yes, God's goodness is seen in what I've described as common grace. But God's goodness is especially seen, and this is the goodness that you must see. God's goodness is especially seen in special grace, in saving grace. And so we think here of God's goodness to unworthy sinners. And I mention more of this in the evening message, but David here, as he writes in this psalm, he speaks of himself as an unworthy sinner. He says in verse 6, this poor man cried. Now, when he says this poor man, he's not talking about finances. He's speaking of how he's a sinful man. He has done sinful things, and that's all of us. But we all need to come to the place where we say this poor man, this poor woman. But praise God, then David came to see that though he was unworthy, that there is a good Savior. I'm a bad sinner, but there's a good Savior. One who came and did good things. One whose ministry was performed in acts of goodness. But then he did the most wonderful thing of all when he died in the sinner's place. When he bore the wrath that was the sinner's due. And so the goodness that you're to taste then is the goodness in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here is a message for the unconverted: taste and see that the Lord is good. But there is here also a message for the convert, that we are to continue to feed on Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll read the verse 3 first of all, and many believe that Peter here is referring to, alluding to Psalm 34 verse 8, our text. So 1 Peter 2 verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so he's saying that some of his readers, they've tasted the graciousness of God. They have tasted the goodness of God. Now going back to verse 2 then, 1 Peter 2 verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And in 2024, may this be our desire as a congregation, that we would taste continuously that the Lord is good. But how do we do that? Well, for the convert, the young convert, the new convert, desire the sincere milk of the word. For the one who's more mature, it's the meat of the word, but in any case, it's the word of God. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, taste again. Come to the word, and may we be in this year men and women of the book, young people who love the word of God. So, as I've said then here, there is this implied desire, the desire after something good. But then secondly, the discernment of something good. When we put food into our mouths, there's discernment. And so perhaps you eat something that you don't normally eat. As you put it into your mouth, you keep it there in your mouth, you move it around in your mouth, you're tasting it, you're discerning whether you like it or whether you don't. And the promise of this text is, if you truly take hold of Jesus Christ, if you truly take him as Savior, you will find that the Lord is good. You will discern the Lord is sweet to taste. And there's no bad aftertaste. The Lord is always good. I referred there to 1 Peter chapter 2. Ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And Peter goes on then to speak of how those who believe know the Lord is precious. Unto you which believe he is precious. 1 Peter 2 and the verse 7. The Lord is sweet to taste. Now sometimes in the earthly physical realm there are dishes that we can grow weary of. And maybe there's something that you enjoy eating, but you don't want it every night in the week. But when it comes to Christ and his gospel, the Christian never tires of it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Christian never tires of the same gospel meal. The Christian delights in the gospel. He always loves to hear it. Sometimes people can lose sense of taste in advanced years. Barzillai in 2 Samuel 19:35 seems to be referring to that when King David invited Barzillai to come back to Jerusalem with him. And he spoke of how he was 80 years old and he asked the question, can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? And I think he's saying there that my taste buds are not what they used to be. But in the spiritual realm, the more we advance in our Christian maturity, the more we desire, the more we certainly ought to desire to taste and see again that the Lord is good. Then sometimes when we taste a quality product, we don't want to go back to that which is inferior. I mentioned yesterday that the people that we refer to as coffee snobs, they used to drink instant coffee, but then they discovered the real deal. And having tasted it, they don't want to go back to that which is, in their view, inferior. Well, the believer, the true convert, has tasted the real deal. He doesn't want to go back to that which is inferior. In Matthew 13, the Lord told the parable of the pearl of great price. And the man in that little parable, he was a merchant. And he would go from place to place looking at pearls. And during his experience in merchandise. He had looked at many a pearl, but one day he came across a pearl like no other, the pearl of great price. And he was willing to let go of everything else in order that he might have this one precious pearl. And during the lifetime of the Christian, prior to his conversion, he saw many pearls. He heard many words of wisdom. He received much advice. He received many of the good things of this world. But when he came to understand the gospel, when his eyes were opened, he was willing to let go of all of that in order that he might have the pearl of great price. And so here is the thing of quality, the gospel of our Savior. Conversion then really is coming to this realization, I must have Jesus Christ. During my ministry, I've heard people speak of how they've been to various Christian meetings, and they've come out of those meetings feeling completely deflated, feeling completely empty. There was no message. It was just something very superficial. And so maybe the message was something like this: be the best version of yourself, or your positive mindset can sculpt results. And the believer that is fed in the good things of the Word of God, he comes out of a meeting like that and he just feels empty. Why? Because it's not the gospel that he's been presented with. The only thing that can satisfy the believer is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We can discern it. And so we're to come again and taste and see that the Lord is good. David doesn't say, I tasted myself and I saw that I was good. We tried that and we were rotten. David doesn't say, taste and see that this other man is good. We'll be disappointed there too. But taste and see the Lord is good. A whole, wholesome Christ. Excuse me, taste and see that the Lord is good. So there's this implied desire, the discernment, and I want to see then, thirdly, the delight in something good. I'm sure you've had meals and said after that meal, that tasted really good. That was really pleasing. And surely in this figure of speech that David is bringing, taste and see the Lord is good, he is saying Christianity is to be experienced. Taste and see. Prove it. And sometimes godly ministers, they will talk about experiential Christianity. What they mean is that Christianity is to be experienced. We are to prove the gospel in our own lives. And this metaphor then is showing us that Christianity is to be experienced. Now, there are certain parts of the visible church that talk a lot about experience and feelings. And there is a danger that seeing the error of those movements, that we have gone so much to the other side that our knowledge is head only. Now, a vital part of saving faith involves intellect. That is one of the aspects of faith. And so John, in telling us why he wrote the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, verse 31, he said, these are written that you might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So you're to come on the basis of this information to conclude that Jesus is the Son of God. It involves intellect, thinking. That is part of faith. But then there is assent, where I can see that that is what these things are showing, and I believe it to be true. I assent. But then the third aspect is trust. I believe it to be true, but I stake my soul on it. I rest my soul for eternity on these particular truths. And so this is where the tasting comes in. Going back to that illustration of the nurse trying to convince the sick patient to take the broth. That sick patient could say to the nurse, you know, I read on the internet that broth is really good for people in my condition. And I believe that to be true. But that broth will do absolutely no use to that patient until it's taken into the mouth and into the stomach. It has to be tasted. It has to be swallowed. And so it's not enough merely to say the Bible shows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible shows that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He rose again. He ascended. He's at the Father's right hand, exalted. It's not even enough to say, I believe those things are true. Have you rested your soul on it? Is that your hope for eternity? That I'm a sick sinner and I need that Christ. I need that gospel. And so going back to the false message that is preached in many places today, be the best version of yourself, that will do absolutely nothing to fix the need of your soul. That's quackery. The true medicine is Jesus Christ, and he is to be experienced. And so some of the old Scottish preachers used to refer to how salvation is better felt than telt. That I cannot fully explain to you what saving faith is like. I can tell you it's a wonderful thing to be saved. But if you're to know what it's really like, you have to experience it for yourself. Come and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And having tasted, then continue to enjoy. We live in a world where there's much unpleasantness, and the devil will dish up to you many unpleasant things. But dear believer, come and taste and see again that the Lord is good. And just one other application out of this. If you've experienced a good meal and you say, you know, that was really good, you tell others about it. Maybe you've been somewhere for a meal and you really enjoyed it. And you go and you tell others, you know, you should try that particular meal in that particular place. Well, if we have experienced that the Lord is good, our desire should be with David, let me tell others. Thomas Brooks says, there is not a soul that has ever had any saving taste of the Lord and of his goodness, but is mighty desirous that others should taste of the same grace and good. If we have experienced it, our desire is to tell others. And may in this year we go and tell others the good news. There is a gospel. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We trust the Lord will bless his word to every heart. Amen, and God bless.